Welcome to The Long and Short of the Week Ahead, a production of Eurizon SLJ Capital that takes a look at the macroeconomic themes of the week ahead and has been recorded for professional investors. My name is Matt Jones, Head of Distribution for Eurizon SLJ Capital, and I'm joined today by Neil Staines, Senior Portfolio Manager. Welcome back, Neil. It's great to have you here with us again.
Thanks very much, Matt. It's great to be here.
We've had a significant number of global central bank meetings this week, as we obviously highlighted in last week's podcast. But leaving the Fed and the Bank of England to one side for a moment, how are we looking at the events of next week, given this week's monetary narratives?
Absolutely. Good question. Yes, Matt. We've had a huge number of central banks this week, as you say. 50 basis point cuts from Brazil and the Czech Republic. A dovish bias turn from the Norges Bank. A modest increase in rates from Taiwan and a huge increase from Turkey. Next week's central bank rhetoric will be clearly very important in terms of the corroboration or conflicting narratives from the central bank action this week. But specifically, we'll be looking out for Australia this week, where CPI inflation data from February will give us some clarity, hopefully, to an opaque monetary backdrop there. In Australia, inflation has been pressing on the top side due to supply side issues, according to the RBA, productivity and high unit labour costs, among others. But CPI that released this week is likely an important barometer of activity, important for the RBA, FX rates and for the rates markets. In Japan, after the Bank of Japan raised rates for the first time since 2007 this week, removing negative interest rate and yield curve control policies, the data this week on our bank holiday Friday this week, unemployment rate, retail sales and industrial production will be keenly watched for further normalisation in the economy and the ability of the Bank of Japan to continue that normalisation process. Also, we get the summary of opinions from that Bank of Japan meeting, and that'll be keenly noted for inference on the breadth of view across the policy board and also the prospects for further monetary normalisation beyond the removal of negative interest rates that we saw at this week's meeting. Overall, though, the theme from this week's meeting has been clearly more in a dovish direction.
Turning to the Bank of England, they again left rates unchanged at 5.25% this week. However, despite the absence of updated projections, it appears to have been an interesting milestone nonetheless.
It certainly does. That's right. Yes, Matthew, the Bank of England voted unchanged, but the split of votes was 8-1, as we had suggested it was likely to be in last week's piece. And that's a change from 2-6-1. Now, that means two votes for a rate hike have disappeared. The one vote for a rate cut has remained. And it's the first time since 2021 there has been no vote for a rate hike at the Bank of England meeting. The view on growth is clearly weaker from our perspective than the headline data suggests. We continue to hold that view. And there have been some signs or some increasing signs that growth is slowing more clearly, particularly on the anecdotal side. Now, retail sales this week was slightly higher than projected. However, the retail sales is a value series, and on a volume basis, the numbers are down, i.e. People are buying less than they did pre-COVID. That's something that certainly conflicts with the idea that real wages are supporting increased demand. The CPI data that we had out this week also saw a significant correction. And I think that's very important more broadly, particularly when we put this in the context of the Bank of England projections. Now, until recently, the Bank of England forecasts had a significant forecast skew or an upside bias to the projections based on their expectation that second round effects of inflation would skew prices higher going forward. Now, what we've seen over recent weeks and months now is that the second round effects failing to materialise, and with risks to the downside, and projections also clearly showing the fact that at the forecast horizon, the Bank of England projections are now clearly below target, something that should elicit a more dovish response. Now, Bank of England's Bailey, following the meeting this week, was quoted in the FT suggesting exactly this, that second round effects have failed to materialise. He also went on to say that every meeting is effectively live from now and that they don't need to wait until inflation gets to 2% before bringing on a cut. So a very important milestone for the UK, a dovish milestone for the UK, for monetary policy, for sterling and for rates markets.
So the Fed also left rates unchanged this week, and they left the median dot unchanged, implying 3 rate cuts this year. How does this impact markets, and what are you going to be looking at next week in this regard?
Yeah, I think it's, again, a very important meeting from the Fed, leaving rates unchanged at 5.25% to a 5.5% target range. Importantly, the median dot for 2024, or the median point of the Fed member rate forecast, was left at 3 rate cuts. There was certainly speculation that was going to slow to 2 rate cuts, given the higher than expected CPI in particular, although also some areas of growth data recently. Now, in the summary of economic projections, there was also this increase in growth and inflation and a downgrade to the unemployment rate. Many have extrapolated this as inferring significantly higher rates going forward. We disagree with that in many respects. Now, in some ways, this upgrade in growth and inflation projections reinforces our view of an asymmetric reaction function from the Fed, particularly in light of them maintaining 3 rate cuts going forward. Weaker data would imply more cuts and faster action relative to the current forecast space. A market extrapolation of US growth outperformance and therefore a dollar higher has been key in markets at the moment, and we'll be watching that very closely into next week, which next week is also a holiday shortened week. We'll be watching Fed speakers very closely next week, Fed's Waller in particular on Wednesday, for any clarity in relation to the upgraded macro variables and rate cut expectations. The data now in the US takes on much more importance. We still err on the side of dollar weakness through 2024, current levels being more attractive. But volatility is certainly likely to rise in the near term.
Thank you, Neil. An interesting week ahead indeed. In the meantime, though, can we say the same about the weekend?
We can't really. No, that's right. Volatile expectations for financial markets next week, but a pretty quiet feel to the weekend in terms of sports. There's no Premiership action as the international break comes around once again. England, Brazil and France versus Germany, the pick of the friendlies, and Wales versus Poland in the playoff final for a spot in the Euros in the summer. Formula One arrives down under for the Australian Grand Prix. Ferrari showing good form in practice, but the Red Bulls are still the car to beat. So a little bit quieter on the weekend sporting front. Perhaps a chance to hide some Easter eggs for next week's hunt, Matthew.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us once again and for outlining your thoughts on the week ahead. I look forward to catching up with you again after the Easter break.
Thanks very much, Matt. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us for the long and short of the week ahead. Further insights are available on our website, EurizonSLJCapital.com. We look forward to you joining us again next week for more insights into macroeconomic events and the long and short of the week ahead. Information, data and views were accurate as at the time of recording. The views expressed by presenters are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of Eurizon SLJ Capital, Eurizon Capital or the Intesa San Paolo Group. The information and opinions contained in this recording are for information purposes only and do not purport to be full or complete. The recording is directed at professional investors only and is not intended for and should not be relied upon by other investors. The information in this recording does not constitute an offer to buy, sell, or the solicitation of any offer to buy or sell securities or any derivatives.